Hello, this is Lifeline.
Every minute, someone in Australia phones Lifeline, a 24-hour crisis counselling service. Lifeline was established in 1963 by the Reverend Sir Alan Walker of the Wesley Mission. Calls are answered by trained volunteers and are confidential and non-judgmental. The service receives around 450,000 phone calls a year. What's it like to be a Lifeline telephone counsellor and talk with people with a variety of needs? Jenny is a retired teacher and has been with Lifeline for 19 years. Rick has a background in corporate finance and has been a counsellor for 5 months.
A friend of mine was a counsellor here and he said, I think you'd enjoy doing this. And so I came along and did the course and it went from there.
Decided to become a telephone counsellor because it's a first step to becoming a financial counsellor for Lifeline. I could use my skills as a financial analyst to help people who really can't afford financial planning or legal advice. Quite amazing journey. The training was fantastic. It really surprised me, and I actually thought, not being a natural sort of communicator, especially over the telephone, my wife would accuse me of being very short and sharp on the telephone. But I found that with the training, it actually really did actually improve that. I became much better. And especially even like we did a special weekend just to do with suicide. And that was amazing, a subject which I'd been fearful of before. I'm still nervous about, but I became a lot more comfortable with, I suppose, and was given parameters to work with.
What is it about the training that's been so helpful?
The training was given in a relatively relaxed environment, and there were a lot of parameters and a lot of good science behind the training, which was quite impressive. It's a lot of role play. There are two or three role plays every single session. So it was it actually got you very comfortable with the whole process.
Believe it or not, a lot of people think they're good listeners, and you find when you do the Lifeline course that you don't really have the listening skills you thought you had. Yeah. I mean, people like to share when they're having a conversation, and sometimes a conversation just brings about your issues in reply, but in telephone counselling, it's not your issue. It's the caller's issue.
Lifeline uses what's called the Rogerian model of counselling, which when I first came across it, I thought it was relatively passive, but I've soon learned it's more about empowerment. That and I've seen this before in my corporate life, in that if you tell somebody what to do, they'll take it on board perhaps for a little while, but they'll generally revert to what they think is right and how they would prefer to do it. Whereas if you can help them and to empower them to make their own decisions and to learn, then you have a much more much better long-term solution. I suspect to a lot of them, they just want to talk to somebody, and we're non-judgmental, confidential service. And so I think that's a large part for most of them. It's hard to try not to ask them any questions at all. Basically, I think a large part of it is just having somebody who's confidential and who's non-judgmental to listen to sound as a sounding board. If you will throw out the lifeline, someone
is needed today. Our aim at Lifeline is to steer the caller into working the problem out for themselves, or to solving their issue. When Alan Walker started Lifeline many years ago, it's just a proven system in telephone counselling that's really recognised as very successful. Well, the counsellor is there to make the caller more comfortable and, to let them take their time and share whatever it is that they're ringing about.
Yeah. Hello, this is Lifeline. Take your time. So things are really hard for you at the moment.
What's the common reason for a phone call to Lifeline?
It varies, but I guess relationships is the big thing. the many and varied complications with relationships in the world out there. Some of the issues have changed. I would say mental illness is one of the biggest issues that's changed. We come across problems with addictions, drug, alcohol, gambling. And now sometimes we get calls too with addictions to, you know, the internet. There is a brother who someone should say. Our role is mainly to be there, to be an ear. We don't find a solution unless we, throughout the call, can pick up on certain choices that we can help the caller with. But our aim is to help the caller decide on the solution.
How do you do that?
Well, we certainly have skills, the skills of listening, the skills of just reflecting back to them to make sure that we have their story. We can ask open questions of the caller to open up the call, to extend them, and through that we can hopefully help them with some options of where to go.
We have five booths in this office here, and they take an individual booth and they just connect with the system. We're out actually nationally, so they actually put their headset on, log into the computer, log into the phone, and then they're ready to take a call anywhere from Australia. And once the call comes in, they actually just press the headset button, hello, this is Lifeline, and then they just ask the caller to just tell them what's happening for them when they actually overrun what the reason for ringing is today.
Hello, this is Lifeline.
No recording of the call. It's confidential, and we take minimal notes, just saying what's happened for the caller, but no names or anything are mentioned, just the reason why they rang. Maybe they've had a relationship problem or they're feeling suicidal today and they just needed to talk to someone. But it's mainly about talking to the caller and just supporting them. When there's a difficult caller, we just try and sort of calm them down, maybe doing some breathing exercises with them just to see where they're at, asking them what sort of support they have, and then just try and, you know, resolve some of their problems and actually move them on to a service maybe that they need. For if they are suicidal, we actually ask the question directly if they are having thoughts of suicide, and then we just make sure of their safety first, just to make sure they haven't taken anything or harmed themselves in any way. A lot of people just have suicidal thoughts and actually haven't followed through with the plan, and we can just talk to them and then we do a contract with them to keep them safe. What?
All sorts of stuff. It's completely very wide spectrum. It's pretty rare to get two calls of the same, I would suggest. It's a lot of people in need in all sorts of ways, relationships, financial, psychological, all sorts of reasons. So really no two are the same.
Do you feel like intervening and giving suggestions?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. When I, you know, being a bloke and being a fairly analytical one, and I would be, before I first started doing this, I thought that would be the most difficult thing to do. You'd just want to reach down the telephone and suggest A, B, and C. But I've actually found that I've really surprised myself in that I've been able to step back and not do that and work within the parameters of the model, which is fantastic. And that's, you know, simply due to the training.
What's the toughest call you've had?
Some calls you can't really get a feel, or you can't really get empathy. It's difficult to get empathetic with and build a relationship with. They're the toughest calls.
Probably the most challenging calls are when people have reached the end of their tether. They believe that life is over for them and there's nothing for them to go on. You know, there's no reason for them to go on living.
How do you manage a call like that?
As yet again, we certainly have the training. We are trained in how to approach people who are suicidal. It certainly tries you emotionally at times, but we do have set skills to utilise during a call like that. And if we can, you know, if we can do that, then and we have the correct supervision behind us, which we do, then we can manage to get through those calls.
I've had one or two that have been really seem to need instant help, or there's some sort of panic, or and that's it's a bit scary, but you know, you just deal with it as best you can. We've got supervisors who are always on call, who can help out in those situations. So basically, I sought a bit of help, and it worked out okay in the end.
You judge it for yourself. If you've had a call that's been fairly heavy going, then you might, just log off for a few minutes and get a cuppa, or but mainly you seem to be able to just stay on.
What's the most joyful call you've received?
The most joyful calls, I suppose, we receive is where people, dare I say, start fairly depressed and distressed, and you get a feeling that they sort of like see something, and maybe it's just they're hearing what they're saying themselves, and you just, as you're reflecting back. And they're much, well, not much happier, but they're a bit happier at the end. Yeah, it's all incremental. So the ones that really happy will make the telephone counsellor feel good are the ones that are more so, where you feel like you've added some value, I suppose.
There are moments of joy. Yes. People phone back. We haven't necessarily spoken to the caller because we do counsel under the name of Lifeline, not under our name. And people will phone back to say, I rang Lifeline yesterday. I was totally down and out, but through talking to Lifeline, I'm so much better today. I am starting to move on. And they're the joyous ones. I got a call one time on the night shift at about 1 a.m. from a lady who had just heard from England that her daughter had had twins, and she didn't have anybody to ring at 1 a.m, so she phoned Lifeline, and I shared the joy of that. So there are moments like that. Mm.
Have you found that the skills that you've learnt through becoming a counsellor are now part of your everyday life? Has it changed how you deal with circumstances outside of your counselling?
There's no doubt that doing something, giving something back to the community is something that makes you feel perhaps a little bit better in yourself by itself. The counselling skills itself, I hope so. I'm not so. I probably should ask more so my family and friends perhaps. But I hope so.
I guess it's become, after 19 years, quite a part of my life. It's quite a life-changing experience, being able to tune into people. The reason I've stayed the length of time I have is because the caller has remained the same. The caller's needs are the same.
Throughout the lifeline, across the dark way.
I think perhaps you're a bit more open and a bit less less demanding, or less expecting of, not perfection, but a little bit less demanding of other people, because it opens you up to the full raft and it gives you a bit of an insight into some people with a lot of tough problems in society out there. There's no doubt. I've been very lucky in life, so I think that's a great thing, to give you a bit of an insight and a bit of a gets you out of the comfort zone.
I personally find from week to week when I come to Lifeline, I react in different ways. I think it's how I am sometimes. And sometimes if it's something that you have perhaps partly experienced yourself, it's a little bit of a fight against that too.
What's the thing that you get out of it most?
I think, again, generally, I get out a feeling of goodwill, I suppose, just a feeling of satisfaction, I suppose. I've spent a certain amount of time actually doing something for other people entirely. It's just a service thing, which is fantastic. And after sessions, after counselling sessions, generally I feel a little bit up, you know, a bit drained, a bit exhausted, but generally, hopefully, a little bit uplifted, or you know, feel a bit satisfied. And Lifeline, I totally recommend it. It's a great organisation. Let me tell you now,